Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Genesis chapter 42, verses 1 through 3. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, Why do ye look one upon another? And he said, Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither, and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. Now this question, why do you look one upon another? It was asked by Jacob at the time of great famine. Famine was not altogether uncommon for Palestine, and such events had occurred during even the lives of Abraham and Isaac. But one place where this famine was not heavily felt was in Egypt. And this was because Joseph interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh predicting 7 years of plenty to be followed by 7 years of famine, and under the leadership of Joseph, preparation for the years of famine had been made by conserving supplies during the good years. But Jacob and his family were suffering in Canaan, and news reached Jacob that there was grain in Egypt. Now the question suggests several revealing and instructive points that if we would take them in the right way, we can be helped today in working for the Lord and being faithful stewards in the tasks that are before us. It was not just grain that was lacking. It seems the sons of Jacob lacked leadership and initiative. The need for food was obvious, but the sons just looked at one another. They were doing nothing about it. They were proposing no solutions. So often people are heard to say, things will work out. Well, that may be an expression of faith, but it may not be entirely true to say that, because things do not work. People work. With the providence of God, the cooperation of people, things can be made to work out. Jacob realized the need for action, and he gave instruction. Realizing and recognizing a need is a large part of good leadership. Taking the initiative in doing something is also a large part of it. Just sensing a need but doing nothing, friend, is negligence. One of these sons needed to step forward and rally the forces and offer a solution and take the lead and motivate the others and shed some light, provide a plan with hope and guidance and interest and enthusiasm. No work moves forward to successful completion until somebody either does that or at least allows it to be done. Now, there are two essential ingredients in getting things done. There must be leadership, and there must be followership. And each is dependent on the other. But leadership must come first. Jacob's sons did not provide it. They were in difficulty, but they were only looking at each other. And the question emphasizes the importance of vision and knowledge. Men cannot do what they do not first visualize. Progress begins with a dream and a plan and a thought and a goal. Progress depends upon knowledge of the need and how to reach the goal. And without it, things will falter. There seems to be three kinds of people regarding work that needs to be done. Some see things as they are, and they are realistic. Some see things as they ought to be, and they are idealistic. But some put the real and the ideal in proper balance, and seeing how things are and seeing how things should be, seeing more how things can be done. The latter ones are the ones who get things done. Those who are merely realistic are on a treadmill. They're standing still. Those who are idealistic often make thoughts their aim and do nothing unless they can do everything to perfection. But those with good balance, they realize there is always room for improvement, but they optimistically set the motion for improvements. They know they must branch out beyond the limited borders and pass the self-imposed restrictions and give new thought and action an opportunity to produce. In working for the Lord, however, we must always remember to do whatever we do with divine authority and not go beyond His will. It seems the sons of Jacob did not know of the grain in Egypt or had given no thought to going outside of Canaan to get food. Their lack of knowledge and vision meant the entire household of Jacob was in danger of extinction. In reality, the promises of God to the great patriarchs of the past were threatened. Now, the question also emphasizes the need for activity. Seeing the need, dreaming of the need and the solution, planning a plan, they're all wonderful, they're needful as far as they go. But until there is activity, until there is the doing, getting to the work, nothing is really accomplished. Nobody will ever invent a substitute for expediting the work. Plans never work. People work plans. We must plan our work and then work our plan. So many plans are encumbered with useless red tape. There is often wasted effort and needless motion, improper preparation, an impractical busyness. Usually, the more simple the plan, the easier to work it. Things need not be complicated and drawn out to be effective, dear listener. Usually, the opposite is true. Success depends upon widespread involvement. In group action, like a church working together, the more people who get involved, the greater the participation and fellowship, the greater the interest and the sacrifice, the greater the likelihood of success. Just as an engine must have all of its parts at work to be most effective, everybody needs to be informed and included and instructed and intent and improved and involved. The Lord's work does not just belong to a few. People at work for the common good and for the cause of Christ will be a people at peace and progress, promoting to produce. Sometimes when something needs to be done, it ought to be said, "Don't just stand looking at one another. Do something." This is essentially what Jacob was saying to his sons. Now, the mistake of the sons of Jacob at this moment was just looking at each other. If matters had been left to them, the families would likely have starved to death. Fortunately for everyone, Jacob possessed the needed qualities of leadership and knowledge and vision and the realization of a solution. Because of Jacob, Joseph, and the providence of God, the family of Jacob survived this famine, and the nation of Israel, which came from this family, through which came the Messiah, it grew to be the great nation that it became. The promises were filled. Could it be that we just sometimes look at each other? Are there not many needs spreading themselves before us? Do we not need to formulate and execute plans to take the gospel to the lost? Homes are being corrupted. They're being divided by divorce and children misled. One of America's present tragedies is the destruction of the foundations of our society by the destruction of the sanctity of the home and marriage. Can we afford to just look at each other? Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12 reads, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which become the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat." Why do we just look at one another in face of the need for teachers? Why do we not study and learn and grow and develop? The faith of the young must be created and preserved. The saved must become involved in reaching the lost. The moral standards, as taught in the gospel of Christ, they must be proclaimed, they must be practiced. The fallen need to be restored. The sick and the bereaved and the needy must receive care. How can we allow ourselves to just be looking at one another? Doubtless many of us are fully aware that we cannot afford to be negligent, but we're not as diligent in the pursuit of our duties before God as we're able to be and should be. We must ask the question, what kind of stewards are we going to be with what God has provided us? What kind of workers will we be in the God-given work that is before us? Possibly too many of us are just waiting. And for what are we waiting? This is difficult to determine. Some wait for somebody else to get started. Success does depend upon somebody getting started. Why should I wait until somebody else gets started, however? Cannot I also get things started? Have I tried to get things started? And some are always crying, now is not the time. Well, surely good timing has its place. But the scriptures teach that we must work in the day, the now, while we have time and opportunity. Now is the time. Always waiting for a better opportunity, a better time. Why, that may sound like we're thinking, but more than likely it's just procrastination. It sounds much like Felix after hearing Paul preach and his cry for a convenient season to obey the Lord. Being like Felix ought not give us much comfort. Someone has suggested that there are two kinds of people who are willing regarding work. Some are willing to work. Some are willing to let others work. Should we not be among that first group? Jacob's question to his sons, it should be taken to heart by those of us who profess to be the disciples of Christ in this sin-stained world. It's a very personal and applicable question for each one of us. We have the knowledge and the leadership and the fellowship. Do we not have the initiative and the vision and the dreams and the plans and the goals? And then let us get to the work. Then we shall be letting our light shine to the glory of God, Matthew 5:16. But until then, we would ask, why do you look one upon another? This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.